Welcome y'all to Backwoods Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris.
How you doing, man?
I'm tired.
Very tired.
I spent most of the day fixing my sink because I had it started out with my cold water tap just wouldn't shut off. Like, it was constantly doing a little drip, and it's like, I don't want a big expensive, you know,
water bill.
So I went and spent $130 and got a nice faucet that matches everything else in the house, same type of finish and everything. So that was nice and expensive. And then I was gonna try to fix it or try to do it like earlier this week, and then I realized I'm gonna need a lot more time than I had that evening, because I looked under there. I don't have a shutoff for my hot water.
Oh no.
And I still don't. There's a whole lot I would have had to do because it's old copper pipes in this house. So I then had to spend 2-3 hours removing the old faucets because they were corroded, and also my hands were too big to fit in the space. So I was constantly on my back, out, moving something around, out, back, on my, you know, everywhere, flipping around. And then the connectors for the thing were about 3 inches away from being able to connect to my taps.
Yeah.
And so I went, and then I was like, realized everything is I needed a half inch fitting and a 5/8 thing. So I ended up going very convoluted. The way it ends is I realized that they do make 1/2 inch connectors to 1/5/8 connector hoses, which solved the whole problem, and I've had to return a lot to both Ace Hardware and Home Depot today. So I have been all over and doing that. Installed a new baby seat because
you've been busy.
Too big for her. About to be too big for her carrier. Like, literally, like, we're a pound away. So we went ahead and got a new car seat because it was on sale.
Yeah, imagine you're going to have to go through a lot in the next couple of years.
Well, this one will convert to a front facing. And then convert to a booster.
Oh, so it saves you money in the long run.
Yeah. So it, well, not really a booster. It's the stage right before a booster. Like, is still in a booster because he's not quite 60 pounds, but also he's not quite. It's weird. Like, you gotta be 60 pounds and a certain height. Like, it's like a weird roller coaster to sit in the back seat of a car. Remember, like, when we were kids and you're, like, in the back of the car, no seatbelt, just stumbling around?
Yeah.
Sleeping on the floorboard of the car?
Probably not the safest thing to do.
Mm-mm.
No.
But that's been my day. I've been all over and doing.
Yeah, my day has been pretty good. This whole week has been pretty chill. I finished the Fallout series, and now I've gone through the ritual of downloading Fallout New Vegas and modding it. You know, I think anyone who has ever played a Bethesda game on PC knows this sort of...
Yeah, I've only played... Okay, I was streaming New Vegas a while back, just straight vanilla New Vegas, and I still love it. It's just that...
It's aged.
It's not that it's just aged. Isn't it running on the Oblivion engine?
I think so. It's on the... their engine... Like, Oblivion and the Skyrim engine, the Bethesda engine in general, is just... It's just a little bit...
Well, Bethesda...
Outdated, to say it nicely.
Bethesda does not release a finished game. They release it so that you can fix all their bugs. Unless you play it on console like I did for a long time. Like, and I still love 3, and I still love New Vegas more, but...
But yeah, I went through that ritual... and I'm actually playing it. I'm a high agility character with charisma, no strength. What else did I get? I got the small frame and the good nature perk, so I'm like really good at talking, but I sacrifice a little bit in guns just for that.
I might go back and start playing again. I think I might be in the air. I'm either with the boomers. Like, I just did all the stuff with Nellis. I haven't gone back to the vault from there. Or I'm in Jacobstown. I'm in one of the two places.
The thing is...
I also had a glitch to where I can't recruit the cons now.
That's weird.
Like, it, the character that I need to talk to just does not...
exist?
No, he does not do the prompt for everything.
That's weird. I mean, that's the Bethesda engine. But yeah, getting into what I wanted to talk about, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, past couple of weeks, I've had a bit of a what-to-do moment when it comes to the podcast. We've had a good bit under the belt. We're about to hit our milestone of 20 episodes.
Nice.
Which, over three episodes means we were in the top 50% of podcasts. If we get past 20 episodes, we're getting into, I think, the top 20%. And if we get to 50, that's like the top 1% of podcasts, regardless on if we have a
following or not.
Yeah.
thank you, all 12 people.
Like, my big thing with the podcast isn't really to have like a huge following. I don't expect it. I just want to be like, at the end of the year, be like, we did this. We have this many. And,
yeah, because we started in October.
Yeah, we started technically in October. We didn't start posting until January. But we still have a pretty big backlog. But, okay, so to get back on subject, I was looking for things to do. You sent me a big list. And by that time, I had found something. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with... I'm just going to go with what I looked up. And I wish I would have picked one of the ones, because you said one I was going to try anyway, but I wish I would have went with that.
Well, that's the reason I sent you all the ones I sent you, is those are ones that you have claimed. So, and I'm sorry, I've been also doing standardized testing this week, so I've been either in a room full of kids taking a test they don't want to take, so it's like super negative energy, or I've had no kids and I'm in my room not able to go do much of anything because the library is a testing site, so I can't make copies.
Yeah, yeah.
So you sent me a text, I was like, blam.
Here, have some ideas. And I wish I would have taken them, because the looking up this creature has made the ghost of my previous skeptic, new atheist past come out with his fedora like a specter. To just
m'lady.
M'lady tip. That's fake. We try on the podcast to have like the Louisiana skeptic mindset, where mm-hmm. it's like, you know, we're not going to test it. We're going to, you know, have some superstition. But, you know, ultimately, most of what we talk about, we're not really believers in. Like, this is the first one I'm like kind of mad, because we're talking about something that's in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'll be honest. Like, you were, like, legit mad about the Lutan, so...
I was legit mad, and I think I got a little bit mad about the Grunch as well. But like, this actually kind of follows the Grunch. So, what do you know about the Parlangua?
Sounds like something to, like, speak the language or something like that. It sounds like lingua for tongue or language, and then parla... sounds like speaking. That's it. I don't know anything else about this.
No. Okay, so it is a obscure... I don't want to say obscure. It feels obscure because I couldn't find a lot of information on it. That's one reason why I was mad, because I couldn't really find a lot on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a creature from South Louisiana, said to be in Arcadiana, the Apalachicola Basin, and all that.
That's just a chaffalaya.
A chaffalaya? Am I just adding things?
You added like two syllables to that.
You know, they could be there, they couldn't be there. You don't
Those
know.
Are the real cryptid, are all the letters.
Yeah. How many letters are in Natchitoches? You would be surprised.
We got a clickbait now.
So, yeah. Tell me if you've heard this before. It is a creature that Cajun parents would tell their kids so they wouldn't go out into the swamp.
Okay, tracking so far.
Yeah. It is a creature that hunts in the swamp.
Tracks still.
Okay. It's said to attack boats.
Yep. Okay. I get where you're going.
Yeah, it specifically, it was meant, I think they're called piros. The
flat bottom boats, yeah.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing that really annoyed me. So it's said to be half human
mm-hmm.
and half alligator.
Okay.
So why isn't it just an alligator? You're being attacked on a boat in the swamp. You just got attacked by a big alligator.
You're burying the lead.
I might be burying the lead. Again, this is something that when I was reading it, it kind of gave me that Grunch vibe. Only worse, because at least with the Grunch, it's not every day you see an alligator on land walking around. And it is pretty frightening because you don't expect it. You're usually right. Seeing those in the water. But this is like something that attacks in the water. Now, there is some things about it being able to climb trees and everything and like jump on you and everything. I think those came later.
Like drop bears?
Yeah, drop bears in Australia.
That's a koala, right?
I think it's just what they do to fuck with people out, like, not from Australia.
But what we will have to check that out. What is a drop bear?
But yeah. So yeah, there was a song called The Legend of the Parlingua by the Cahoots in 1983.
Okay.
That's about it. I mean, there, you know, there's the accounts and everything, and like,
well, what did you write down any accounts, or is it mostly like folk tales and folk stories?
It's most nothing like super interesting. It's like, oh, I was in the swamp and I saw it over there. It's like, okay, so it's kind of like the Bigfoot accounts that you see all over the place, where it's, oh, I was in the woods and I saw the creature over there. And I got scared. And I ran away. It's like, okay. That's nothing. It's not like the Honey Island Swamp Monster or the, where, you know, where they actually encountered it, or the Falk Monster, where there was actually like a hug that happened and reaching through. There weren't those visceral things that none of that I read, so I didn't
You know what? The Parlingua gets 1 point for me because of the not reaching in and trying to hug me part. Like, it gets 1 point for me because of that.
I mean, yeah, fair enough.
It's not a cryptid that will reach out and touch you, except, you know, to flip your boat.
But yeah, it did activate my fedora a bit.
Yeah, but some of the other stuff you got for it, man. Like, I'm seeing a whole page over there.
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to try and salvage this, so I decided to bring up some facts, some Louisiana facts. You wanna?
Yeah, okay, I'm fine with this, man. Like, okay, so this is a little bit of a two-parter tonight. Like, you have a bit and I have a bit, and the Parlingua is depression as a cryptid in the swamp. Is that what you're telling me? Like, this is how you feel about this one?
Kinda. I mean, no shade to people that like grew up with like legends like that. It's just, you know, from the outside, I just see an alligator, and I'm sitting here wondering, it's like, why are people in the swamp confusing an alligator? It completely shattered my worldview from the Falcon Monster, where I was like, you know, people living out in the woods probably have seen bears before, but now I'm like, maybe they did mistake a bear, because I was holding out hope for the Falcon Monster, you know, maybe.
Still keep hope, bud. Keep hope. Never, never. You know, to quote some great philosophers from the last 30 years, don't stop believing. Hold on to that feel-an.
What do you know about Bayou Teche?
It's a good beer.
It's also a bayou.
Yes, it is. Slow-moving body of water.
Did you know there is a legend that Bayou Teche was created when the... I'm going to fuck this up.
Chittimacha.
Yes, that one. Or Chittimacha. Or
I think they're the ones whose symbol might be a gar, like an alligator gar. I'd have to. I taught tribal government to kids just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're one of the few federally recognized.
One of four.
Here in Louisiana, but apparently, long ago, they slayed a giant snake that went miles wide. And that snake died. And where that snake died became Bayou Teche.
I'm okay with that.
See, that's a cool one. I wish there was more there. But, you know, it's at least interesting. It's not just like, oh, it's probably an alligator. It's like, oh, giant snake. And these Native Americans fought it. And it was miles long, and they just beat the crap out of it.
They just punch Yodermander to death.
Yeah. Viking mythology has nothing on Native American tribes that have the gumption to beat up a giant snake.
True.
Yeah.
And create a whole bayou.
Anyway, in the 1800s, there were several reports of wild men. There's the wild girl of Catahoula, who is said to be an abandoned child of Romani people.
You know, you...
Racism, you know?
Well, yeah, but you've laid claim to that as a whole separate story. Like, you claim...
I did. I'm just... I'm trying to salvage this.
Okay, some more fun facts.
Did you know Bonnie and Clyde died in Bienville Parish?
You literally just went and started getting everything from the internet.
Hey, but did you know this? Bonnie and Clyde's car is in Prem, Nevada, which is a real place, and it's also in Fallout New Vegas. See, I brought it back around.
Back to New Vegas, yeah, because if you go to the casino, it's a reference to Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Prim also has a hotel that had a roller coaster going through it.
It still does.
Oh, I thought the hotel closed. Well, it did close for a little while.
Yeah, I think they had a reopening.
Because it was one of those places that also had, like, a fake forest that you could eat your buffet in. So, like, it was like
Oh, wait, are you talking about, like, the Rainforest Cafe sort of thing?
It was like a bad Rainforest Cafe kind of thing.
That's an incredibly low bar already.
Well, no, here's the thing is, like, this place, like, if I remember right, because I think it was on Abandoned. Like, they threw, like, a whole bunch of stuff at the wall to see what would stick. And it was, like, it's the level of fake that we would love, but... Like, you know, like, when you've... Okay, like, if you ever go to the Ripley... Or not the Ripley's, but if you go to the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in Little... Or Hot Springs, or you go to any of the tourist trap crap that's in Hot Springs, how, like, it was built in the 50s and 60s. So,
and it's
like,
still there. And
it's, like, the really crappy faux rainforest that has, like, a concrete stream.
Was one of the wax museums there the one that had the actual body?
No. No, not that one.
Okay.
That, I think that was either the one in Texas or somewhere else, but Madame Tussauds in Hot Springs is where wax figures go to die.
Ah.
And a lot of times it's just the head, hands, and feet that are on a metal body that with clothes over it. So, like, Prince Charles was incredibly skinny. Well, let me say, King Charles III was incredibly skinny.
Old sausage fingers.
They didn't have the sausage fingers. He must have been borrowing someone else's hand. But there's an 8-foot crucified Jesus in there. Like, photorealistic. Like, they got, like, an actual good Madame Tussauds of 8-foot tall Jesus.
New Orleans is 8 feet below sea level, which means it's going to be very hard to make a Fallout game out of that.
Actually, according to the new series, it got a direct hit.
Oh.
And also, there's a vault in New Orleans and a vault in Baton Rouge. They're two of the only above-ground vaults.
I have heard, like, Fallout 5 might... It's either going to be based... They don't want to base it in a place that they've already...
There's a good chance it'll be San Francisco.
I don't want San Francisco.
They're going to hit... There's some hints that it's going to be San Francisco. There's also a chance that we might get the Midwestern Brotherhood with Chicago. They're still fighting... So they're still fighting the remnants of the original... super mutants from the Master.
Oh.
And there's a group of the Enclave managed to make it there after it was destroyed before moving to the Capital Wasteland.
You know what I would like to see? Is maybe one based in, like, Atlanta. I just want one from the South, personally.
Well, there's supposed to be Brotherhood in Texas. Caesar's Legion is supposed to have made it into parts of Texas. And... there's supposedly, and it's not canon, I don't think, but I think there's a lost NCCR or NCR scouting mission that might have gotten lost somewhere in the Texas region. I know that there's non-official lore that Brotherhood of Steel does not want to come to Louisiana because they lost power armor in swamps.
That makes sense. It would be very hard to hit. Yeah. Rain, Louisiana, it's the frog capital of the world.
This is hurting you.
Like, Rain, Louisiana was also featured in our X-Men episode. That's where Barnabette was from.
Yeah.
She was from the frog capital of the world. Did you know we have a lot of capitals of the world?
Prison.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about that one, Hewitt. I was thinking of, like, Boudin capital, crawfish capital.
Okay, to be fair, how many of those things only come from our state? Like, are you going to eat Boudin from Mississippi or Tennessee?
No. It's like, let me get some Creole food from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Poor Lord there, Cher. How you doing? I just hurt Knox.
You gotta get the Ruan, don't you know?
Look, so the big thing here is that the Parlingua is a half man,
half alligator
that attacks your boat in the swamp, and is a spooky story to tell kids and not go into swamp at night. That your skeptic senses start tingling and tell you that's just an alligator.
See, I can put it away for the Rougarou, because I'm like, the Rougarou is ridiculous, but it's fun.
But the Rougarou also has like a lot more history and stuff. And like, here's the deal. This was going to be one that I would do separately, but since you
need help.
But it's not just that. It's not defeated. It's just that you mentioned a cryptid that is very much like one that I did research on that had more information.
Well, that's good.
But
because
not a lot of physical evidence. Like, there's every time I tried to find sightings, it would take me to a Rougarou sighting, or it would take me to a Honey Island Swamp Monster sighting. So let me give you a little story, kind of playing off of your with attacking the Piro. So, cue the scene. It is a humid and foggy Louisiana evening.
Oh.
Pierre and Beau are returning from a long day of fishing, in quotation marks. Honestly, they just wanted to get out from their house and drink a few beers without being harassed by anybody. You know
Fair
what?
Enough. Fair enough.
Nothing wrong with that. However, one thing led to another, and then another, and then they were extremely late trying to come home. The sun started to set, and the low fog of the mid-autumn evening obscured their vision. They are trying to get home before it gets too late, because they forgot their spotlight for the boat back at the dock. They feel a bump, bump, bump on the side of the boat.
Uh-oh.
Bo is startled, but Pierre says it's just a log or a submerged stump. Ain't no leak, ain't no problem. Shortly, another harder bump occurs, rocks the boat heavily.
Oh, no.
Bo starts to say it's the Rougarou, and Pierre tells him that's maw-maw nonsense to scare kids. Just as he says that, another bump rocks the boat, spilling both men into the bayou. Bo grabs a hold of the side of the capsized boat, gasping and saying a shaky prayer in the chilly water. Pierre surfaces and starts to curse about hitting the stump and, in general, other things. Just, you know, he's mad, so he's going to let everything out.
As you do.
He starts to yell at Bo to flip the boat back over, but his friend is pale as a ghost and mumbling in fear, looking at something behind him. Pierre turns to look behind him. A large reptilian figure rises from the water. And in a moment, before Pierre can react, its clawed hands dig into his arms and pull him back under the water.
It's an alligator.
The last thing Bo hears from his friend is gurgling and screaming, and Latesh drags him down into the murky depths to feed. Bo, knowing if he tells the truth, no one will believe him, claiming it was just another drunken boat accident. So what I'm going to talk to you about is the Latesh, which is very much the exact same thing that you were talking about with the Parlingua. Let me give you a description of the Latesh. It is a alligator-human hybrid, about 7 feet tall, wet, swampy musk, just very pungent odor, large claws and alligator-like teeth. Eyes glow either red or orange all the time, not just like you shine a light on it, like they got glowing eyes. They have thick scaled hide that also has that's green, but they also have thick patches of heavy brown fur.
Okay, so we're get, you know, you see me here.
King Kong and Godzilla hooked up.
See, that's cool. I like that. I like it.
Okay.
That's the Louisiana wildness I need.
Depending on the story, they may or may not have an alligator head. They might be walking around like Sobek. Or they might not. They had their human intelligence. They are cannibals by all definitions, because if they're alligators, they eat them. Humans.
They eat them.
Anything. They eat them.
Swamp monster. Eat them.
Yep. Yeah. And they reside in the less traveled parts of the swamp. Now, to what you said earlier, all of this sounds like the description of an alligator. Especially alligators don't act like, okay, for everybody out there listening, contrary to the belief made popular by swamp people, alligators generally avoid humans. We are not unless they're over, like, okay, if they're over 5 foot, they're deadly. Over 6 feet, they can kill you. Over 7 to 8, 7 feet plus, you could become a food source for them, but not an easy one. And alligators are an ambush predator, so...
Yeah, and if you see them and they see you, they're messing with you.
90% of the time, unless you're in their territory or unless there's young. Like, alligators honestly really don't mess with us because genetic memory. We've kind of been winning in the alligator-human war for a hot minute.
Actually, where we go fish, I mean, alligators are out there all the time. They're just basking, and they don't really care.
As long as you don't mess with them. But, like, again, like okay, if you talk about a big gator, big gators usually go where they want, but they will still avoid areas that are active with humans because that's a good way to get yourself deaded. Mm. So, now, let me talk about the origins of the Latesh. Now, there's two. There is the Native American version, origin of the Latesh, and then there is the European one. So the Native American one, our Latesh, come from babies that are given to alligators as an offering. Some of them are raised by the alligators as their own children instead of eaten. They start to resemble their adopted parents because of this, and they start to become a human alligator hybrid. Now, European. Babies that die before they're baptized and linger in the swamp and become tainted.
Oh, okay. So we're back to the baptism.
Yeah, like, okay, look, dude. Let me be honest. Like, how many times have we mentioned this? Like, and so far we're like, we got over... This episode is beyond 20. I feel like we've mentioned, how do you become this? 5 times has been, don't baptize your kid and they become this. So I feel like this is like a priest really telling somebody, baptize your kid.
So you should baptize your kid or you'll become the Rougarou.
Or the Latesh, or any other number of
the Honey Island Swamp Monster, the three cheek beast.
Now, also another fun fact, and one of the reasons,
ironically, the bus druid.
Yeah. But here's the deal: is the Lutan might be responsible for the Latesh. If you make a Lutan mad, they might curse your baby, and that baby becomes a Latesh. So. Another reason to be mad at that little bastard, the Lutan.
You talked to me after that episode, and you were like, we got to cool it on some of the stuff.
Are you good? We're both like, are we good? Like, I listened to that episode. For anyone that's listening to this, I know I mentioned it in that one. Chris and I both were legitimately mad at that little trickster Faye because...
You don't blunt knives.
Blunting knives and stealing socks and, like... throwing stuff at me when I'm asleep or hiding my keys. Just a jerk move. Okay, now, here's the other thing with it. Here's some other details that pop up in both the Native American and the European lore. They like to build layers. Like, you know how alligators will build a...
Oh, layers. I thought you meant, like, layers as in onions.
So. I wrote down layers like an onion, but it should have been L-A-I-R, layer. Oh. But they like to build layers out in the swamp, much like gators will... build little areas, like they build their nest. They have altars dedicated to alligator spirits or alligator gods.
That's cool. I like that.
They lay clutches of eggs in their lair. So here's the thing. This is the first time we've actually heard of a cryptid spawning. It could actually have a survival population. Only one of the young will survive, though, because the one that grows the fastest will eat all their siblings, similar to like sharks in the womb.
That's crazy.
Which I'm not 100% sure if that's actually true or not, or if that's something people made up.
I mean, the thing is, when you talk about anything giving birth in the wild or having any sort of reproduction in the wild, I mean, it can be so
brutal very quickly. Like rabbits.
Yeah. Even if they don't actually consume each other like that, it could just be, you know, you live in a harsh environment and things come and get you. So oftentimes, you have a clutch of like 20, it gets whittled down to 3.
Very quickly. They also make decorations out of alligator bones around their lairs. So we now know who's responsible for all the alligator heads at like every gas station rest stop.
So the Latesh is just going there. It's like, here, put this up.
I need 350.
I need 350 here. Now, I'm an alligator skull.
Sightings. This is where it gets a little dicey. Every time I searched for sightings, most of the results brought up the Honey Island Swamp Monster because it's also a reptilian mammalian cryptid, or skunk ape.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of coincide.
Other creepy stories, but could not really find... I couldn't find photos that were not AI-generated or a dude in a suit. So, my thing with the Latesh, much like with the Parlangua, this is a scary tale to keep kids out of, or keep kids out the swamp, and also tell you not to go out on your boat and drink at night, and to beware of alligators. Mm. Like, this is... like, I know that you were disappointed with what you found on the Parlangua. I, like, literally, if I hadn't added that little story, I had just as much info on the Latesh. And so, I mean, here's the deal. What's scarier? An alligator or a bipedal alligator?
I mean, I guess a bipedal alligator, but...
because, I mean, that just means it's trogdoring through the swamp.
But the thing is, it's like, we talk about, like, how alligators, you know, generally don't mess with humans, but... when they do, it is a scary experience.
Well, it's also because, let's see, was it the alligator and the alligator snapping turtle? Two creatures are native to here in Louisiana and throughout the South, have the highest bite force per square inch out of any land-based creature. Like, I think that maybe one of them has the highest out of any creature. Like, there's other things that can bite harder, but they're bigger, so, like, the per square inch pressure is not as high. But the thing is, like, an alligator... doesn't just bite you, it rolls.
Yeah, it, like, drags you down, rolls.
It blinders.
I mean, that's how it eats. It breaks you up so it can swallow you.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't have molars. Now, because we haven't done this a lot in our first, like, 20 episodes, Steamit Latesh by Pink Spectre is one of my sources. Louisiana Dread. And 97.3 The Dog radio station, which
that was one of mine as well. I did the Cryptid Wiki, which had jack shit on the Parlangua.
I think, you know what, I'm going to go out on a branch here. The Parlangua and the Latesh are the same thing. It's just regional. It's kind of like when we talked about Madame Lady Longfingers.
Yeah.
That depending on where in the state you go.
Or even the Grunch. The Grunch was like a fae creature.
And depending on where you go, it's a different story.
Yeah. The thing that initially... actually, I think it was from The Dog, where it was a list of different things, where they initially said it was like a giant snake. And I was like, ooh, cool, giant snake in the South? That's cool. And then I looked up giant snakes. I found the story of the native tribe killing the giant snake in Bayou Teche, and I saw one where it was just... it wasn't supernatural. It was just, in New Orleans, they found like an 8-foot cottonmouth.
That's a big snake.
That's a big snake.
That's a big snake.
Especially a big cottonmouth.
Especially because they usually don't get that big. That's like starting to get into boa territory.
Yeah.
But I mean, so here's the deal. Is Latesh or the Parlangua real? I'm going to go ahead and say
no.
At the same time,
it's an alligator.
Am I going to the swamp? No, because it's an alligator. And yeah. I don't want to get...
I don't want to hit up an alligator nest.
Yeah, you know what? I have very much respect for the giant danger log.
Yeah. And they're very cute up close sometimes.
When they're little and not big enough to take off a hand.
Yeah, when we go out to the bayou, we see them every now and then. They just float around or they're like sitting there basking. Because alligators do bask. Because most reptiles bask because they need to regulate
body heat. You want to know a very odd fact?
What's that?
Alligators and crocodilians. You know, like how you'll scratch a dog's tummy?
Yeah.
Now, this is dangerous. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this is 100% dangerous. I've only seen it performed by, like, you know, the patron saint of herpetologists, Steve Irwin, and then his son, his clone. Do it, and a couple other people. Apparently, alligators almost purr if you scratch the side of their bellies when they're laying down on the ground. Like, you know how they go bloop out to the side?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, you can scratch or rub right there, and it's something that they can't scratch themselves, so they dig it. But at the same time, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Because the last person I saw, they did it to a 130-year-old crocodile. And the crocodile, and I'm like, that is a 19 or 20 foot long crocodilian. That is a dragon. That is a worm with a Y.
That's a water dragon right there. The thing is,
respect the water dragon. Give it scritches.
Give it scritches.
don't
actually, like, okay, if you see a tiny alligator in the woods, leave it alone. You know, admire it from a distance. If you see a big alligator, leave it alone. Admire it from a distance. They're not usually going to fuck with you unless you're near the nest, but just don't mess with them.
Yeah, like, okay, look. To everybody out there who lives in a state that does not have the sheer number of very large, angry reptiles that we do, because we have a, like, completely disproportionate number with, you know,
yeah,
snapping.
People talk about Florida when it comes to alligators. I think we beat them.
You know what? I'm going to say we're kind of like Florida, Louisiana, Southern Mississippi, Southern Alabama are very much like Australia of, if it's a dangerous creature, we know where it lives in this country. And give it the respect it deserves. Don't mess with it. Or, hey, the Parlangoa / Latesh will get you.
Yeah.
So, you know what, Chris?
A.K.A. the alligator.
Hey, I know, dude. Thank you for starting this off and allowing me to add mine to it. I feel like we went, eh. Ooh. Eh.
Hey, you know, it, as much as it's like, as I act disappointed, it's always fun to, like, look at regional versions of different legends and figure out, like, just how people parse out the dangers out there in the swamp, or just use that danger to kind of, like, reel people in to not do dumb things. Because you see that with the Ruguru, you see that with the Lutan, you see that with just about any
everything.
Sort of creature.
Like, it is what it is. Don't go into the dark woods.
Yeah. But yeah, no, again, I wasn't, like, super thrilled about this one. I think the next one I'm really into. But I think it actually turned out pretty well.
You know what? Yeah, I'm happy with this one. It was a good on both our parts.
But yeah, we are Backwoods Obscura. We release every Tuesday. We are on most podcatchers, and we should be on Apple Podcast soon. I still cannot get the website to work. It's bad. But aside from that, we are also Team Bonus Action, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, we play charity streamed games with Team Bonus Action. You can catch us on Mondays with Shades, every other Wednesday with Red Roll Chronicles, and every Sunday with Darawan. So we stream. If you watch and you enjoy, maybe throw us a tip, and the tips will all go towards, currently at this moment, we're partnered with the Trevor Project. Other parts of the year, we might be partnered with St. Jude's or the Children's Miracle Network of hospitals through Extra Life, and a lot of times also with things like multiple different reading charities for schools. Almost, I think, every time we've done it, our charities are connected to children at this point.
Yeah, well, so,
We're the games are not child friendly based on language, but
we want to help the future.
We do want to help kids, because sometimes it's a difficult place, sometimes it's hard to do things, and hey, job of the older folks to try to help the younger ones.
Exactly. So I hope you had fun today or tonight or whatever time it is, and I hope you have a good rest of the day or morning or whatever.
Have a good drive, enjoy your jog, enjoy fishing, and hey, don't touch the danger log.